Pennsylvania. Let us pray. Lord, we come before you with open hearts and open minds, looking towards the future as we study the book of Acts and the beginnings of this we call our Christian church. Be with us, lead us, guide us, and bless us. Amen. Becky is going to read Acts chapter 8, 26 through 40, and it's from the Message. I'm sharing today from a book that I've had for quite some time called The Storyteller's Companion to the Bible. I've used it before for John, but I'm not sure if I've used it for Acts. But what it is an outline, a comment on the story, and then a retelling of the story. So today I am going to retell the story that Becky just read for you. "Look," said the eunuch, "here is water. What is to prevent my being baptized?" Philip, contrary to popular opinion, had not had an easy time of it. Ever since he got back from his excursion in the desert, he had been in trouble. Now he had been summoned to appear before the Christian Caucus for Political and Moral Purity. Somehow they had heard about his meeting with the Ethiopian eunuch. "He is a foreigner," said one. "He's from the wrong race," said another. "He has the wrong sexual identity," said another. "His kind are not allowed in the company of the politically and morally correct," added another. "God does not allow it," they all concluded. "But he can't help what he is. Doesn't God have some say in that?" asked Philip. "We and God are just like this," said the spokesperson, raising his hands with two fingers upraised and pressed tightly together. "We know what God likes, and we know he doesn't like those kind of people." It was a strong argument, Philip had to admit. Before he met the eunuch from Ethiopia, he had agreed with all of them. God was a God of purity and a God of holiness. That is what he had always believed. It was the job of the religious people to protect God from impurity. Does that sound familiar? And an Ethiopian eunuch was about as impure as they come. Everybody knew that. He thought back to how he had gotten into this mess. Now, normally, Philip didn't hear voices, but this time he did. Maybe yelling at him was the only way God could get his attention. Have you ever been there, that God's voice was stronger than you could imagine? The voice was clear and demanding. Go down that road over there, the one that leads south out of town into the desert. It was a strange command. It came clearly from a heavenly travel agent. And what a choice for a journey. Why go there, of all places, on a desert road that led nowhere important? At first, Philip had been alone on the road. But then another pilgrim showed up. This man was obviously well-connected, because he was riding in a chariot and reading from a scroll. As he passed, Philip got a look at him and automatically recoiled. He saw that he was a foreigner, an Ethiopian, and his dress betrayed him as one of the castrated servants of the Ethiopian queen. Philip turned aside and pretended to be adjusting his garments as the chariot passed by. He wanted to avoid any contact with such a person so he could get on with God's business. How often have we crossed a street rather than to face a person who was different from us? But then, to his utter surprise, he found himself being propelled, goaded really by an invisible force. Without knowing how he got there, he found himself running alongside the chariot, listening as the eunuch read out loud. The eunuch looked at him, startled that a traveler on a desert road would suddenly break into a trot. Philip looked back at him sheepishly, also rather startled at his own behavior. Can I help you? Said the eunuch. Well, panted Philip, maybe I can help you. I notice you're reading the Bible. I'm a pretty good Bible scholar myself and would be happy to help you understand what you are reading. Philip couldn't believe that he had just said that. What he really wanted to do was get as far away from this person as possible. Besides, he hated when chariots were solicited, and now he was soliciting a chariot. What luck, said the eunuch. I have just been puzzling over this passage here. I would appreciate some help. Well, said Philip, fading fast, if you would just stop this chariot for a minute, I'd be happy to oblige. Of course, said the eunuch, and gave the order for his driver to stop. Why don't you get in and join me, he said, extending a hand to Philip. Philip stood on the road a minute, catching his breath and eyeing the man with a suspicious look. He looked around and saw that there was no one else on the road, so no one would actually see him, so maybe it was okay. After all, he had to be careful with his reputation. He was a representative of the church. He climbed in and sat beside the eunuch. He felt humiliated. He had never been this close to one of them before. What had he gotten himself into? Then the man extended the scroll to Philip and said, here is the passage I was reading. What do you think it means? Philip listened intensely as the man read. The passage was one he had heard many times before, but somehow today it was quite different. It was like he heard it for the first time. He was led like a sheep to the slaughter. He has been humiliated and has no redress. The eunuch finished the reading and handed the scroll to Philip, who began to study it closely. Did it really say that? Thought Philip. The words echoed in his mind. He has been humiliated. The eunuch looked steadily at Philip and asked, "Whom is the prophet speaking about? Himself or someone else?" "Is he speaking about me?" thought Philip as he became acutely aware of his own sense of humiliation, but for all the wrong reasons. He swallowed hard, looked back at the man, and began to tell him the story of Jesus, a man who spent most of his time with the outcasts of the world and who ended his life with a humiliating death. Yet from that life and death, God had fashioned a message for all of humanity. And Philip was just now beginning to understand how powerful that message was. For as he told that story, it worked on him as well. And by the time he had finished, he had lost all nervousness in the presence of the eunuch. The man took on a different form from him. He felt as if the man was a messenger from God, for although he had begun as the teacher, he, Philip, had become the one who was taught. The eunuch listened attentively and nodded approvingly as Philip told his story. Then, when they suddenly came to a watering hole, he presented a challenge to Philip. "There's water over there. Is there any reason why you should not baptize me?" Philip burst into a wide grin and nearly leaped out of the chariot. "No, there's no reason at all," he cried. Together they went into the water, and Philip baptized the eunuch. Then, in his joy, Philip embraced him. There was no longer any difference between them at all. That was what the scripture meant, what God meant by the death of Christ. And until that moment in the desert, Philip had missed the whole story. And then suddenly the eunuch was gone and Philip was back in the real world. Was it all a dream? Had he just imagined such a brave new world? Certainly no one else here in Jerusalem had caught the vision. Now he was being interrogated by the religious leaders. "What do you have to say for yourself?" they inquired. The question awakened him from his musings about the events in the desert, and the answer came to him in a flash. "The Spirit made me do it," he said. This is the story of Acts, a story of our journey as followers of Jesus the Christ. We are all judgmental, skeptical, questioning, and we are always forgiven. I now have the honor of welcoming a couple new members. It is my pleasure to